Well, this is a pretty unusual Sunday in Pentecost that we actually get to have the color white instead of green. It is a fixed feast of August 6th, and we only end up seeing this on Sundays if August 6th falls on a Sunday. So I was looking back through my notes, and it went back to something like 2006, the last time I preached on this. And see this as a very important occurrence in Jesus' ministry to help us understand what it means to be students of Jesus. The account of his transfiguration is part of a much bigger section of Luke's gospel that contains his teaching on the meaning of real discipleship. What does it really mean to be a student of Jesus Christ? By our exploring the transfiguration, then, in that perspective, that it's part of a bigger teaching that Jesus was doing, we can understand that Jesus' transfiguration demonstrates for us three key components, three elements of us being disciples, of being students of Jesus. So I want to explore those three: glory, praise, and action. The bigger context is that before the transfiguration, Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. He had finally come to that spiritual place that he had figured out Jesus was not just a rabbi, not just a teacher, but he was accepting Jesus as God's son. Jesus had predicted his passion and death just after that. So he was making the statement that this would be the culmination of his purpose here on earth. And it was just after the transfiguration, while they were all sort of still in the glow of this spiritual high, that Jesus said, okay, it's time to get off the mountain. And they went down to the base of the hill where there was a boy suffering with an evil spirit, and Jesus healed him of that. So the message being, as nice as it would be to stay basking in the glow of a spiritual high, there's work to be done. There's action to be taken. So Jesus had brought Peter, James, and John with him to pray. And that's something actually unusual for Jesus. Most of his prayers were alone. It is likely then that Jesus brought them with him because he wanted them to witness this event. He wanted to make sure that they saw I got to ask Don the pronunciation here. It's either Shekinah or Shekinah. Neither one. Okay. So Shekinah is a Hebrew term for the visible presence of God. And so this is about the glory of Jesus being visible to people. And it's seen as the Shekinah of God, the divine glory of God. And it was made so visible, so real, that it just burst through Jesus' inner self, and he glowed. His face shone. And we see something similar to that, but not quite the same, in the Exodus reading, where Moses experienced some of this just being in God's presence. It was really the reflection of God's presence that Moses experienced by meeting with God on Mount Sinai and receiving commands from God on how to take care of this unruly lot of people who were down at the bottom of the hill. And it scared people so much because they knew anybody who sees God could not survive. Right? And so by them seeing this presence of God that shone itself in Moses' face, they ran for cover. They didn't dare even be nearby. So Moses had to veil his face when he was in public until the glow settled. Well, Moses was only talking with God, and he reflected God's glory in that way. Jesus was revealing his own glory to Peter, James, and John. So it was literally from the inside out, not a reflected sense of God's presence, but the revealing of God's presence within him. Pretty miraculous. This is about you and me as disciples, as students, looking for and recognizing God's presence in our lives. And Jesus isn't here in his physical self anymore, so we have to be a little more astute and watchful, I guess. And I think in my life, because August 6th happens to also be Ruth's and my wedding anniversary, and she was here at 8 o'clock for a blessing on that, and she and I have been married 51 years. Can you imagine that? So 51 years ago, I was sitting at this end of an aisle, and as Ruth turned at the other end of the aisle in her wedding gown, it took all the strength I had to keep from crying. And I grew up in the John Wayne era. You don't do that kind of thing, you know. And it just overwhelmed me how God was so present in our relationship, and in the fact that God would lead me to her. Well, God and my Cupid mother together did that. But I just was so aware of God's presence. And I'm so aware of God's presence in this ministry. I told you last week about this very circuitous route that led me to ordained ministry through travel trailer business and engineering. And you know, once I was out of work during the energy crisis and had a night shift at an oil tank farm punching a Detex clock while I walked around looking for oil leaks. You do all that stuff, and I end up in this such wonderfully fulfilling vocation that even though I'm old enough to be fully retired, I can't imagine doing that. I just can't imagine it and won't. So there are ways that you and I can see ways to live our lives based on the promise that God is active in our life. God is with us. God is beside us. God is in us. God is before us. God is behind us. And we can recognize that if we look for it. The trick in this is if we don't look for it, we won't see it. That's just the way it works. I can't explain the logic. That is the way it works. And so we are really called to be aware of the glory of God in Jesus Christ. The second is praise. And the way Peter decided he was going to kind of fumble his way through praise was to go build three booths, right? And say, wow, you know, we got to go build something so we can memorialize what's happening here with you and Moses and Elijah. Wow, let me build some booths. Well, you and I offer our praise to God and our Lord Jesus Christ through our prayers, through our songs, through our sacraments that we share, certainly Holy Eucharist, certainly matrimony. That's another sacrament. And by the way we choose to live our lives. You and I need to remember something I've preached on before, and hopefully you've heard before, that worship, praise, is anything we do that is meant to bring honor and glory to God. Anything that we do that is meant to do that. So our work can be praise. Read the writings of Brother Lawrence if you want to know more about that. He washed dishes at a monastery and gave all the glory to God for his work and considered one of the most spiritual people of the Middle Ages. We can worship through our time with family. We can worship our way through our whole day. As disciples of Christ, we are called to praise him and to keep him on our mind and to be continually in a state of praise. The third is action. And the voice that came from the cloud that surrounded these men on the mountaintop was, "This is my son, my chosen." But that wasn't the end of the sentence. It said, "Listen to him, listen to him." And so that has to have a connection to the last words Jesus said before his ascension, the Great Commission. Go into all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded you to do. Jesus did not say, "I want you to sit back and read through everything I've ever said until you've memorized it." He said, "Go do something with it." He didn't say, "Don't read." But he said, make sure it results in going out and doing something. Share what I've come here to share with you. That your relationship with God is all based on self-giving love. self-giving love for God, self-giving love for each other, self-giving love even for self, to have that agape love. Peter wanted to build those three booths and stay on the mountaintop probably forever and just bask in that memory of the transfiguration. And I think that's where most of us who have experienced spiritual highs in our lives, that's where we want to stay. It feels good, right? I mean, when we have those rare times in our lives that we feel like, wow, I just feel God touching me right now. I feel God being right with me right now. You want to be in that place forever. But Jesus called his friends back down off the mountain. And they were to heal. They were to teach. And they were to fulfill the purpose that God had for them. Glory, praise, and action. Jesus' transfiguration showed these elements of discipleship to his closest friends. And this record is left for you and me to remember and to take on for ourselves. Glory, praise, and action. Jesus' glory and our praise of him are what empower us to take action. And this is action that can bring transformation to ourselves and to the world. Amen.